from the Emerald City, across the nation, and around the world, bringing you conscious living through positive thinking. Contact Talk Radio. Here now are your hosts, Cameron Steele and Lucia Minetti Steele.
Good morning, everybody. Welcome to Contact Talk Radio. My name is Cameron. Wait, there's no Lucia. We're waiting for that. Everybody was sitting on edge waiting for that, and I'm Lucia, and Lucia's not here this morning. It's a sad day at Contact Talk Radio. Lucia's not with us today.
You'd have to grab me below the belt to get the high. I'm Lucia. But that's why you're over there.
Yeah, well, we got a big table that separates us.
Thank gosh for that.
Yeah, because considering yesterday you were singing to me. I
was not singing to you.
Are you sure?
Yeah. Absolutely.
All right.
I don't know what you're talking about.
I'll take that as your...
Wait, what was I singing to you?
You did something.
No, see, now you're just making it up. When did I sing to you?
Didn't you do something yesterday?
Did a dream or something like that?
It must have been a dream.
Must have.
Because I thought you said something on the air that, and I was making fun of it.
That's every day.
Yeah. But I thought you did something that, I just thought I saw a cat go out the side of my vision here.
Isn't that weird? Okay.
Yeah.
What color was
it? It was a gray cat.
Hmm.
Yeah, that's weird. Huh.
No cats in here, at least I don't think so.
Well, maybe not in physical form, but perhaps there's a cat in spirit. You never know. It's just one of those things. It just happens.
You totally dodged that, didn't you? I think you made that up just so you wouldn't have to answer if I was singing to you or not.
You know, I know that you did.
Mm.
It was on the radio either yesterday or the day before. You played a song and you started singing, and I was making fun of it because of the fact that you were looking at me when you were singing it. Something like that. I can't remember exactly. I mean, we're here every day, and it's...
You can't remember when I last serenaded to you?
Yeah, I can't. Maybe I don't want to remember. I don't know.
It's tragic.
Yes, it's tragic. It's tragic. It is. It's not often you get to hear Benny sing, but when he does, you got to remember it, I guess.
Hey, Cameron, I'm going to go call our guest.
All right, sounds good. All right, listen, folks. We got a fantastic show lined up for you today. We've got David Icke, who is on the show. He is the author of a great book called Infinite Love is the Only Truth, Everything Else is Illusion. And like David Icke's many books that he's written, including The Secrets of the Matrix, which is a new DVD video by David Icke, many other books that he's got, including The Reptilian Agenda, The Freedom Road, Turning of the Tide, Revelations of a Mother Goddess, Tales of the Time Loop, Children of the Matrix, I Am Me, I Am Free, and of course the book that set it all off was And the Truth Shall Set You Free. The Biggest Secret was a very popular one, and then of course Alice in Wonderland and the World Trade Center Disaster. His latest book is quite different from all the others, although the design is very interesting, and we're going to look forward to talking with him on this book, but also talking about the recent bombings in London. I don't know about you, but I do watch my 11 minutes at 11 o'clock on Cairo, and, you know, it's interesting, they're not putting as much news coverage on this disaster as or this this event as they have others. So I'm going to ask David about that, what his take on it is. We are going to take questions from callers. If you've got a question, I'm going to give the number right out front, 425-649-1112. That's 425-649-1112. We'll open up the phone line soon, and I'll let you know when to call in to talk to David and ask questions of the work, or if you've got questions about what's going on in our planet. Listen, I want to tell you about some ongoing things that are happening before we bring David on. Evolutionary astrology readings. If you're looking for an astrology reading, Sumaya Hadidin. She is doing ongoing readings, and you can schedule a date that suits you. You can schedule a time that suits you. You can call Sumaya at 206-524-5144. That's 206-524-5144. You can always check her website out, sumayahadidin.com. And, of course, the CDM Psychic Institute is always taking... doing readings. You can call for an appointment, and that's with Mary Ellen Flora, regular guest right here on Contact Talk Radio. You can call them directly at 425-258-1449, Also, let's see what else is happening in our world today. July 16th, this coming Saturday, Reiki film premiere, Subtle Energy, Stories of Transformation. This is the very first Reiki movie of its kind. This is a 37-minute documentary which combines the history of Reiki and candid and moving interviews with Reiki masters who convey their own experiences and insights through moving personal stories. You know, I don't know about you, but I always am inspired by various types of movies, and this one will be no different, I am sure. Reiki Training Program is the sponsor of it. The event investment. I can talk. When the time comes, $7.50, 3 to 5 p.m. Northwest Film Forum. For more information, give Tom Brophy an email to wolftab@mindspring.com.
You okay over there?
Nope.
You all right?
I'm all right. Okay. I'm all right. I'm good.
Breathe.
CrystalStudios.com is their website address, and you can go to visit that. You can find out more information by going to their website, CrystalStudios.com. The Psychic Fair coming up July 30th, and that's with the CDM Psychic Institute. The admission is free. It's $10 per reading, 1 to 5 p.m. Again, call them, 425-258-1449. If you have an event that's happening and you'd like to hear it right here on Contact Talk Radio, then give us a call, 425-649-1112. Or log on to our website, contacttalkradio.com. $25 a month for each event that you have listed, and we'll plug it away for you right here on the live show, live at 9. Isn't that funny? Live at 9. Well, I think it's time for a commercial break.
Sounds groovalicious.
When we come back, we are going to talk with the amazing David Icke. One of the most controversial, in fact, probably the most controversial speaker in our time, on our planet. Somebody has to take it.
Yeah.
So why not David?
Got to own up to it.
Yep, exactly. So we're going to come back with David Icke and Contact Talk Radio. My name is Cameron. Thanks for tuning in. We'll be right back. Everybody, welcome back to Contact Talk Radio. My name is Cameron. I can't talk this morning.
Contact? Oh, you're welcome to Contact.
Contact
Talk Radio.
I can get it. Because David's on, my reptilian mind is taking over, and they don't really talk. You know, they just project.
Keep your tongue in your mouth.
Exactly. There you go. David Icke, of course, a wonderful author, and, he is not afraid of, I like to say that he's not afraid of anything because of the stuff that he writes. Boy, I tell you, some of it can be very, it almost puts a little bit of fear of, should I write this or should I say this because what are people going to say? But, David is out there and doing his thing. And it's really great to see what he's doing and bringing out some of the best information that's out there. He is the author of And the Truth Shall Set You Free. I Am Me, I Am Free, Children of the Matrix, Tales from the Time Loop, The Biggest Secret, which was probably my favorite book, was The Biggest Secret, and probably the hardest book for David to write because it's a huge book. Alice in Wonderland and the World Trade Center Disaster, his latest book. Just amazing. Infinite love is the only truth. Everything else is illusion. How truthful is that? David, welcome to the show again. Oh, Benny, we got him?
Yeah. Oh, man.
We lose him?
We did. Oh, let me get
okay,
back.
Well, we're going to have to call David right back.
One of those glitches, I guess.
That's a glitch that's happening today on the show. So, we're going to call up David. Now, his book, there's a lot of different things that happen with his, after writing one of his books. And, I'm going to talk to him about this because a lot of the stuff we find out there, it makes you wonder, we talk to people all the time about, is the government behind what's going on? Is, who's doing what? And what is the real truth out there? I mean, it's funny because you see the news from time to time and you see these things that are happening and you go, What? How can this possibly be happening all over the world like this? How can it just be, you know, something or somebody's got to be behind all of this? I mean, nobody can, I mean, who in their right mind, for instance, the 911 disaster, the war that's going on, I mean, come on, I mean, let's get real about this. Do we really sit back and just watch and let this happen, or can we consciously go into a place of doing something about it, making a difference? For me, unfortunately, until I become a U.S. citizen, I'm unable to make my voice heard other than through the radio about what my thoughts and opinions are. When I become a U.S. citizen, which I probably will be, I will have the power to vote, so then I have a say. But then again, you know, somebody out there is probably saying, well, voting's not going to really help either. And you're probably right. Voting isn't really going to help. So what can we do? And that's what we're going to talk to David about, amongst other things. He is here for the full show. We have him back, Benny?
Yeah, let's try this camera. Sorry about that, sir.
That's all right. No problem. David, are you there?
I'm there, camera.
Hey, all right. So I don't know if you caught anything of what I was saying previously in the beginning of the show and what I was just saying just now, but, you know, of course, you know that I'm Canadian and I moved down here and I'm waiting for my right to vote, but voting, of course, isn't really going to make much difference, I don't think. You know, I don't know. But welcome back to the show, Dave. It's always a pleasure to talk with you. As I was saying, you know, the information that you write, it can push a lot of people's buttons. Do you ever fear for your own safety because of the things that are being written?
No, not at all. You just do what you believe to be right, and what happens, happens. But, you know, as I've gone into in this new book, we control our own reality
mm-hmm.
by what we believe. And, it was kind of interesting, Cameron, when I first came to America in what was it, 1996 now, to talk about these subjects. And I spent 3 months traveling around America talking to nobody. They didn't want to know in those days, as they didn't in Britain. But I met many, many whistleblowers all over America. And after a few weeks and after 3 months, it was just so clear and obvious. The whistleblowers who were putting the information out in fear of the consequences were getting the consequences. And the ones that weren't were not getting the consequences. And so I don't even think about it. I just get on with doing what I believe to be right, and what will be will be. I am concerned about my technology, though, I have to say. You can call a phone and computer technology, because what's just happened is there's happened a number of times recently where the phone's just gone dead at the time when I was going to talk about something, or I was doing a webcast and the technology worked perfectly 10 minutes before the start and then wouldn't work at the start. So it's been a strange 10 days, 2 weeks with technology. I don't know what's going on there.
Well, you know, that's interesting, David, that you bring that up, because I know that in previous years that you've been on our show, we've lost the signal a couple of times. The yellow light flashes in the studio, and all of a sudden we're off the air for 10 minutes. And during that 10 minutes, you know, we just keep talking because we never know when we're going to come back on. But during those times, you're right, there's things that you say that are very profound. And there's so much to talk about, we end up not talking about that again. But, you know, it's a very interesting. I sometimes wonder to myself, you know, I wonder if there's another cause behind that.
I must say, given the fact that I've been a bit of barometer for all this in terms of public attitudes to what's going on,
mm-hmm.
And when I started talking about this in about 1990-91, like I just mentioned earlier, no one wanted to know, really.
Right.
I was going around talking in little village halls, putting the chairs out, speaking to nobody, putting the chairs back and going home a lot poorer than when I arrived. And I spoke in Chicago once to 8 people. It was a great event. but now it's dramatically changed.
Yeah.
And never in all the times I've been researching this have I had such a reaction from people as I have to these London bombings, where they've said, hey, this is not right, is it? This is not what actually happened. It was them, wasn't it? And so the veil is lifting, and I'm not the only one, the only researcher that's had that reaction. There is an awakening going on, and it's about time, and it's very encouraging news.
Yeah, I would think so. You know, now David, when you are writing these books, you must get a lot of information that comes across your table. How do you discern what is really valid information and what's information that somebody is just making up?
Two things. First of all, how many times do you come across the same theme? from unconnected people.
Right.
And secondly, intuition. It is an incredibly powerful filter of information if you use it right. I've talked in the new book, Infinite Love is the Only Truth, Everything Else is Illusion, about the difference between the mind emotional level and what I call the silence between the thoughts, the mm-hmm. infinite level, where we're all everything.
Mm-hmm.
It's the place you go in meditation, you go into that silence. And it's a place not of thought. In fact, when people are trying to meditate, they're trying to get rid of the chatterbox. But you enter that silence, and it's silent because it's all-knowing.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it doesn't have to go through the chatter to work things out. And when you get into that level of consciousness, which is what we all can do, then you start to be in this world physically, but not of it in terms of the way you observe it. And I remember a guy saying to me once, who was he'd worked for a long time in the intelligence services and stuff in America. He wasn't a manipulator as such, but he knew a heck of a lot was going on. And he said to me, I've just read this part of your book. He said, you've quoted a disinformer, but you've only quoted that part of what the disinformer said that's true. How do you do that? Answer, because I go into that quiet place, and it says, yes, that's right. No, not that. And over the years, you get to find, and people listening to this program, many of them will understand what I'm saying. There is your body actually resonates in a different way when you see something that's right and when you see something that's not right. And over the years, it's overwhelmingly proved to be accurate, not least in what's going on now in the world since 9/11.
Now let's talk about the stuff that no one wants to talk about here. For instance, you know, there's people out there. I've heard people say that oh, I love George Bush. I love the government. The government is doing such a great job. And when I hear that, I go, well, you know, maybe they are doing such a great job on some level, but there's something missing from all of this, David, from all of our lives. I mean, why have we got poverty in the United States? Yet we call ourselves the country of freedom, but yet we've got more than a million people living homeless. This whole thing just doesn't seem right, David. What about that?
Well, it doesn't seem right because it's not right. In a world of abundance, which is what this world is, to have people living the way they live on less than a dollar a day, vast numbers of people. Before we go any further, there's something fundamentally wrong there.
Mm-hmm.
George Bush is doing a great job. I have no problem with that. He's doing a wonderful job for those that wish to turn this planet into a global Orwellian fascist state. So is Tony Blair. See, it's like having the coordinates gives you a way of perceiving the world in a fairly accurate way, or a more accurate way. If you haven't got the coordinates, then you're lost. I remember I live on an island here, and I was traveling on the catamaran ferry with my son a few months ago, and it was really misty, and we couldn't see the land. And we both thought at the same time that this catamaran was not turning right where it normally did and heading for the island. It was going out to the open sea, and we kept looking at each other, what's going on? And then we came across this big concrete fort in the sea, with a few in the sea near this island. And we usually turn right there at the very last resort, and we didn't seem to, even though we could see the fort, we didn't seem to be turning right. And I asked one of the crew, why are we going out in the open sea? And he said to me, we're just arriving at the island. And I looked up, and we were just arriving at the pier on the island. It had actually turned exactly the way it normally did, but we did not have the key coordinate sight of the land to realize clearly where we were going. And it's the same with what's happening in the world. If you think that this is about different countries fighting it out to win economically and all that, the rest of it, and to do what's best for their people, then you haven't got the coordinate. What you need to know is that there is a network of interbreeding families going back to the ancient world who control a secret society operation called the Illuminati, among other names. And its goal is to create a centralized global fascist Orwellian state with a world government, world central bank, world army, microchip population, world currency, and all the rest of it. And they wish to impose a society in which the few at the center dictate to every country economically, militarily, etc. And they oversee a microchipped, constantly controlled surveillance society. Now, when you realize that, the world starts to make sense. And when you realize the biggest coordinate of all, which is this technique that I've been talking about all these years, which I've dubbed problem reaction solution, where you want to change society to push you yourself on to that centralized state that I've talked about, and you know that if you came out and just said, we want to create an Orwellian state, totally controlled, people would go, you know, what are you talking about? We're not in that.
Yeah.
So you play this technique, problem reaction solution. You create the problem. You blame someone else for it, not the people really behind it, you.
Mm-hmm.
You then tell the people through an unquestioning, pathetic mainstream media what you want the people to believe about the problem, i.e. Osama bin Laden and all that stuff about 9/11. And then when the people are in fear, in outrage, and they want something done to protect them, then you... the perpetrators secretly offer the solution to the problems you have created. Now, once you've got those coordinates, the world starts to make sense. This is why, because I've been bashing out this problem reaction solution for so long, that people have sussed in bigger numbers than ever what's really happened over the London bombings.
Mm-hmm.
We have the problem, the bombings, we have the reaction, fear and outrage, and now we're getting the solutions by the day here, which is an advancement of the policy of introducing identity cards, which was struggling before the bombs, of, as the Home Secretary here said, the people must accept an erosion of civil liberties to meet the threat from these terrorists. So, you know, it's a very different world once you've got the simple background of what's actually going on. So George Bush, Cameron, is not actually serving America. He is serving this network that is seeking to introduce the society I'm talking about. And what he's actually doing, and this is so important to get across in America, he is fronting up, because he's just a puppet, the real power you never see. He's fronting up the destruction of America, and this is why. When you want a centralized world government that dictates to the rest of the planet, you cannot at the same time have any superpowers that have the economic and military might to say to the world government, sorry, we're not doing it. You need to destroy them, and then you have ultimate power.
Mm-hmm.
And what they're doing, and I've been talking about this for years, is they're using America to destroy America. They're using it to destroy itself militarily, and they're using it to destroy itself economically. And what they're leading towards, and again, I've been talking about this for a decade, they're leading towards a conflict with China. And this is a key reason why now they're starting to the process of demonizing China, or we're worried about the military buildup in China, all this stuff. Because that's what they want. They want those two superpowers together to destroy each other, and then the global society will be put in place.
David, we're going to take a break right here, and it's funny that you say that because, you know, I'll tell you a story when we come back about this whole thing with China and my own thoughts that I had around that, too, and I totally agree with you on this. So when we come back, more with David Icke. My name is Cameron. This is Contact Talk Radio. We'll be right back. Welcome back to Contact Talk Radio. Our guest this morning, David Icke, author of his most recent book, Infinite Love is the Only Truth, Everything Else is Illusion, Exposing the Dream World We Believe to Be Real. Now, when we left off, we were talking a little bit about the global effect of what's happening right now. And I mentioned to you, David, that, you know, during the commercial break that when it comes to China, just after 9/11 happened, I turned to Lucia, and I actually think I said it on the radio, that, you know, you watch, in the coming years, something's going to go on with China, North Korea, or something, and we're going to, China's next, is what I said, basically. And in 1998, in The Biggest Secret, you wrote something. I'd like to share that.
Yeah, I was told early in the 90s, or the mid-90s at the latest, by a CIA scientist, among other people, that this Chinese agenda was what they were looking at in the lead through to bring about the world government. And I put this research together and many other things, and I wrote in The Biggest Secret, my book in 1998, the plan is to engineer events real and staged that will create enormous fear in the countdown years to 2012. This includes a plan to start a third world war, either by stimulating the Muslim world into a holy war against the West, or by using the Chinese to cause global conflict, maybe both. And the thing, I actually wrote this also. I've got another one here from my website. On the day that George Bush was inaugurated for the first time, 2001, mm-hmm. January the 20th, Powell, like the Bushes and Cheney, is bloodline, and that's why he's to be the new Secretary of State. Given that lineup and their mentality and agenda, don't be at all surprised if the United States finds itself in another manipulated war during this administration. You will see monsters being created in the public mind to justify such action. Of course, it took months.
Yeah.
And the thing to get across, Cameron, is that if you had a conflict between the Americans and the Chinese, the leaderships of both countries, they might fight among each other in terms of wanting to be at the top of the greasy pole in their own bloodline network, if you like.
Mm-hmm.
But they're actually on the same side, when push comes to shove, when you get to the bottom line, they're on the same side. Because, as I pointed out before, when people fight wars, when countries fight wars, the people who declare them do not fight them. They declare them. I mean, George Bush, I mean, you know, I've said in one of my books, you know, I've got a foolproof method, and it would have to be for George Bush, a foolproof method of stopping all war, and that is that anyone who declares war has to fight in the front line from day one. We'd be over.
Yeah,
George Bush, I mean, he'd be on the front line in Iraq on day one when the first mm-hmm. bullet was fired, and under a bed in Houston when the second one went off, you know. Mm. I mean, it would simply not happen. So what they do is they get the people to fight each other and bring about these changes in society. They don't fight at all.
Mm-hmm. You know, David, it's interesting because the thought just occurred to me that, you know, I think that a lot of people even forget that we're even at war.
Yes, that's easily done if you don't look at the news very much and you live thousands of miles from where it's actually going on.
Yeah.
There was that wonderful film, Wag the Dog, where the president, if people haven't seen it, the president was about to be exposed for having an affair just before an election for a second term.
Yeah.
And so a movie producer, played by Dustin Hoffman, orchestrated a war that only existed in a Hollywood studio with Albania. They picked Albania because... they thought, well, no one in America really has ever heard about Albania or knows where it is.
Yeah.
And they kept sending footage from the front, and it was coming from a studio in Hollywood. And that then got on the front pages of the newspapers instead of the president's affair. Now, Wag the Dog, if anyone can get that and watch it, it's absolutely what is happening in the world now. That's how they spin these things.
Yeah, it's quite interesting, isn't it? Now, there's another film out there, and I'd like to get your take on it, David. It's Michael Moore's Fahrenheit 9/11. Did you see it?
Yes, I did.
And what are your thoughts?
About 2% of the story, really.
Really?
I was glad that it was out there on one level in the mm-hmm. sense that it exposed that the American people were being lied to, but the scale on which they were being lied to was like 2% of what's actually going on. And what I found disappointing, really, is that the film accepted the idea that 19 hijackers and Osama bin Laden were behind 9/11. I think that was an unfortunate confirmation of the official story, when the official story is just a pack of lies. There's only one a strand of it that fits with another.
Mm-hmm.
One of the interesting things, Cameron, in the last few days, right up to today, in the aftermath of these London bombings, is to see the way what has happened mirrors 9/11 in so many ways. You remember that the mayor of San Francisco was warned not to fly on September the 11th by people he took seriously, and so were a number of other people. Benjamin Netanyahu, the former prime minister of Israel and a minister now, he was supposed to be speaking at a hotel close to the location of the first bomb on July the 7th, and he was warned before the first bomb went off that he shouldn't go there, and he stayed at his own hotel and didn't speak as a result. Prior knowledge is so clear in the 9/11 horror, and prior knowledge is so clear in this one. I've got this this quote here, which I've only just come across today. It's worth just reading. It's from a former head of Mossad called Ephraim Halevi. And on July the 7th in the Jerusalem Post, while all the mayhem and chaos is still unfolding in London, he wrote this: the multiple simultaneous explosions that took place today on the London transportation system were the work of perpetrators who had an operational capacity of considerable scope. And then he goes on to say it was a near-perfect execution of the bombing, using sophisticated choice of timing, intelligence gathering, all these things. The key thing is this. He talks about, on the day of the bombings, the multiple simultaneous explosions that took place today in London. It was 2 days later, on July the 9th, that the London police announced for the first time that they had realized the bombs were simultaneous. When he wrote that article for the Jerusalem Post, and for 2 days afterwards, the London police were saying there was 50 minutes between the first and the last bomb.
I heard that, yeah.
There are so many aspects to this that are, one of the things about 9/11, which has come to light sometime later, is that while the planes were in the sky and the hijackings were going on, there was exercises being run by the U.S. military based on reacting to hijacked aircraft and similar situations, which completely confused the system because no one knew if it was real or if it was part of the exercise, which is one way of explaining the non-reaction to those planes in the sky. And now, I've only come across this, camera, and I'm sure your listeners, most of them will not, but how about this for a stunning coincidence? On the BBC, the day of the London bombings, a guy called Peter Power, managing director of a company called Visor Consultants, said that it was a crisis management company that was working that morning, having an exercise, a drill, reacting to bombs that were going to go off at the same places at the same time as the real ones went off. And what he said in this interview on the day of the bombings was basically the only difference between what happened and what his drills were having the exercise about was that the bombs in the exercise were simultaneous, while the real bombs were, as I say, 51 minutes apart, because that's what the police were saying at the time.
Mm-hmm.
And then 2 days later, the police announced that actually they were simultaneous, which means that his exercise was exactly the same as the real thing. And what they do is they put these exercises on to scramble the system and also to provide a cover story if anyone gets caught. Oh, no, that was part of the exercise, not part of the real thing. And, they have a modus operandi, which they just keep repeating and repeating and repeating. And it's so important that people understand this, because they don't buy the official story then if they understand the techniques being used on them.
Well, you know, there's a lot of other things with the London bombings that I found interesting. I mean, they're not covering it with the news the way they did with 911. There was no security the way there's some differences, David, that I'm not sure about, because I wonder, why are we not hearing more about it all of a sudden? Like, is it because it's England? We look at England as maybe something as less than significant to America. I mean, I'm not so sure that's a correct statement, but you know, it just seems like there's just something off around this whole London bombing thing of people not knowing about it. In fact, I was in the Starbucks yesterday I think it was the day before, I think. Anyways, I was in line as somebody, and I mentioned the London bombings, and they said, "Oh, what happened?" He said, "I watch the news all the time. I didn't hear anything about this."
Right. Well, here, and I've got the television on with the sound down here, and all I'm looking at is London bombs headline. We have had wall-to-wall coverage ever since it started. And to an extent, it is emphasizing Britain for this reason. We now have a situation where the word liar and Blair are interchangeable in the public mind.
Interesting.
This man has absolutely no credibility, or hadn't up to now, with the British people. He was re-elected not so long ago because the opposition here is so appallingly bad. Now, this is one of the things the Illuminati do. If they want to keep someone in power, they make sure that the opposition is considered by the people to be unelectable. Mm-hmm. When Margaret Thatcher was the one they chose to be in power through the 80s, mm-hmm. the Labour Party opposition had three leaders who were completely unelectable. And then the moment that Blair was elected leader of the Labour Party, mm-hmm. he was out of office at the time, and the Conservative Party were in power, suddenly the Conservative Party fell apart. Rupert Murdoch, for the first time ever, supported a Labour government, a Labour government or party for government in his newspapers, never done it before. As soon as Blair was elected, that's when that started. And ever since Blair came to power, the Conservative Party has had leader after leader that was considered unelectable right up to the present time. This is how they do it. But even with that, at the last election, Blair got 36% only of the national vote. 64% voted against him, and he still got in. But he was a lame duck prime minister in the sense that he would have had no credibility whatsoever, not least because of these Downing Street memos that have come out, but have absolutely proved beyond doubt that he, like Bush, lied through his teeth over and over about Iraq and the reasons for going in there. He had no credibility, and yet he has the job for the Illuminati here of getting in identity cards, of getting in more control, more surveillance, more militarization of law enforcement. He had no chance. Now, with these bombings, the situation has changed, and more and more people are saying, hey, well, we don't want it, but we better have it to protect us from having this again.
Right.
So it's been a massively important event to change the nature of the British psyche, if you like, towards accepting things they wouldn't accept before.
Let's talk more about this when we come back from the commercial break. We'll be right back. If you've got a question or comment with David, give us a call, 425-649-1112. We'll be right back. Welcome back to Contact Talk Radio, everybody. My name is Cameron. Our guest this morning, of course, is David Icke, and he's the author of the latest book, of course, is Infinite Love is the Only Truth, Everything Else is Illusion, Exposing the Dream World We Believe to Be Real. Now, David, the London bombings that happened, I mean, why, first of all, let's go back a little bit. Why did they happen? I mean, is it because that the Illuminati are wanting to once again manipulate the planet and reinforce what their beliefs are of this structure, and who are the Illuminati?
Well, the thing is, you could symbolize it like this. On the left, you've got a column which lists all the changes in society they want leading up to this centralized global state. And on the right is another column which lists all the things they have to do to make the right, the first column happen. So we have it actually written down in a document which was produced by an organization called the Project for the New American Century, which was formed by people like Cheney and Wolfowitz and Rumsfeld and Jeb Bush and all these people in the 90s. And they produced a document in September 2000, which they are simply ticking off. If people want to know the future, then it's all written here, because the immediate past is all written here and it's unfolded. This document called for an invasion of Iraq. What it says, using the conflict with Iraq, providing the immediate justification to get into the Middle East, which is what this document wanted. It wanted peacekeeping missions demanding American political leadership rather than that of the United Nations. It talks about North Korea, Iran, Syria, Libya, and Iraq being dangerous regimes. Mm-hmm. And one of these so-called neocons in this Project the New American Century Network is a guy called David Frum. And he was Bush's speechwriter who wrote the speech, including the phrase, the axis of evil, which was North Korea, Iran, and Iraq. And this document, going on what we were talking about earlier, Cameron, talks about China being targeted for regime change. Mm-hmm. And says that it's time to increase the presence of American forces in Southeast Asia that may lead to, quote, American and allied power providing the spur to the process of democratization in China. It talks about American troops being the cavalry on the new American frontier. And it also says this, very significant, given a story that's just started coming out in the last couple of weeks. It says that the United States must, quote, fight and decisively win multiple simultaneous major theater wars as a core mission. Now, of course, they're fighting simultaneous major theater wars at the moment, but the Pentagon announced in the last week or so that they want to change the nature of the American military so that they are capable of fighting multiple wars at the same time.
Yeah.
Now, the key where this is all leading is that in this document, it says that this process of transformation, as it calls it, this blueprint that it lays out, was likely to be long and slow, quote, absent some catastrophic and catalyzing event like a new Pearl Harbor. Now, that was September 2000. The people that put this document together came to power with Bush in January 2001, and 9 months later, a year after the document was published, we had what Bush called our Pearl Harbor. And when a guy called Christopher Malles, the assistant director of the Project for the New American Century, was asked what he meant by New Pearl Harbor and all that stuff, he said that they needed more money to increase the defense budget for new arms and future capabilities if this document was going to become reality. And he said, without some disaster or catastrophic event, the politicians and the military would not have approved this. Problem, reaction, solution. So we'd reached a point where the 9/11 effect had started to wane.
Mm-hmm.
And it's not gone on, I'm sure, for as long as they thought it was in terms of manipulating public opinion to accept fundamental destructions of freedom. It worked for a while, but it was starting to wane. And thanks to the lies that have been exposed over Bush and Blair over Iraq, like I was saying earlier, their credibility was plummeting. They needed a new Pearl Harbor. And we've had a small version of that, horrific as it was with the London bombings, but they are planning many more, trying to terrify us and frighten us into getting behind them on this policy of destruction of the most basic freedoms, including the microchipping of people at birth. So the reason for these events is simply to manipulate public opinion to accept what they want to introduce in column one. And the London bombings is just one step on the road, and there are many more to come.
Why is it, David, that, you know, this is like 911 seems to be, you know, well, I won't say the first because we got Oklahoma, we've got the Waco thing that happened, which wasn't, you know, they say wasn't really terrorism, but I mean, who knows. But there's been a few disasters in the States. In Canada, there's been nothing. There's been no action from that perspective, anything to speak of anyways. But in Europe, there seems to be more of it in Europe. I mean, you hear about bombings all the time through Ireland, through England, through France, through Germany. I mean, it just seems to happen more so over there. Is there a reason for that?
Well, you look at the G8 conference here in Glen Eagles in the week of the bombings.
Right.
You look at where those countries are for those leaders of what are claimed to be the most powerful countries in the world, economically, et cetera. Where are they? They're Europe and they're America. And what has happened with Canada is Canada has been brought into this destruction of freedom situation by what's happened across the border. And more we're having cross-border security and homeland security connections between America and Canada. And I have to say, when I first went to Canada, Cameron, and I got on a plane to America, and I saw that the American immigration was actually in Canadian airports. That was such powerful symbolism. I remember trying to go through Vancouver once, and I missed the plane just trying to get through security. And you had this ludicrous situation where when you had to go for a second interview after not getting through the first one at the desk, there were representatives from all the airlines on walkie-talkies talking to the plane, telling them if their passenger was going to get on or not. And this was going on all the time. And if they didn't, of course, they'd have to get the baggage off and all this stuff. And this is going on in Canadian airports. And Canada's being taken over by America. And it's part of this this free trade zone, NAFTA, which they're now trying to extend, of course. They're trying to do to the Americas what they've done to Europe, which is to take the power of national governments away and dictate to them from a central point. We've reached the situation in Europe now where if, and this is the law, if a national parliament in Europe, in the European Union, passes a law and it's different to the law of the European Union, then the European Union law takes precedence. So once we get the similar situation in the Americas, which is what they want, they want a European Union of the Americas from the tip of North America to the tip of South America, then something decided by the American Union based in Washington or New York or somewhere will be a diktat to Canada, which they will have no choice in law but to accept. And this is what they want. It's a very simple equation, Cameron. If there's a few of you and you want to control the many, you have to centralize decision-making. The more points of diversity in decision-making you have, the less control you're going to have. You want a central point where you can dictate to everyone. Yeah. And that's what the European Union is about, and that's what the American Union that is planned is about.
Interesting.
Fewer people making decisions affecting more and more gives more and more power to the few. It's simple mathematics, and that's what this centralization of power is all about.
Well, we're going to take a break right here, top of the hour, station ID, and when we come back, more with David Icke. And Infinite Love is the Only Truth. Everything Else is Illusion is his latest book. You want more information about David Icke, go to his website, davidicke.com. And David is spelled David, of course. Icke is I-C-K-E, I-C-K-E.com. We'll be right back. Welcome back to Contact Talk Radio. We're talking, of course, with David Icke. And, you know, there is so much information that that David has out there with his books. And if you want to find out more information, the list of his books, you can find out Alice in Wonderland and the World Trade Center, The Biggest Secret, which is probably, you know, It's the biggest book, but it's also one of my, probably my favorite book next to the new one that you have out. Tales from the Time Loop, Children of the Matrix, I Am Me, I Am Free, which is another favorite, and The Truth Shall Set You Free, which introduces the whole idea here. Infinite Love is the Only Truth, Everything Else is an Illusion. Now, you know, what I find, and I mentioned this to David during the commercial break, this book is very much different from all your other books, and it's something I really appreciate about this. A lot of work went into this book just as much as all your other ones, but you've got some different takes in here as well that you've never really discovered before, correct?
Yeah, the thing is, Cameron, that if you don't keep moving, then you basically create a holding pattern going round and round and round with the information that you've got up to that point. And I follow the philosophy of Socrates in the sense that he is supposed to have said in ancient Greece, wisdom is knowing how little we know. Once I come to a point with information, it's not, okay, I've got it. It's what's the next stage? So when I started this journey in the early 90s consciously, I was working on the, if you like, the five cents level of banking scams, political manipulation, secret societies, and all this stuff. And then, just following the information, it took me into interdimensional manipulation of this reality that we call the physical world. And with this new book, it's taken me into the realms of the fact that this is all an illusion. Now, it's not that you're going off the subject; it's still the same theme. It all connects. You're just getting a bigger understanding of what we're involved in, because what is happening to the human population, and you know, when people say to me, you know, what do you think is going on, my question is, well, what level do you want to talk about? They all connect, but there's different levels of the same story. So the London bombings on one level is a physical event, for want of a word, where bombs go off and people get hurt, and then you have all the media and stuff talking about it and whatever. Mm-hmm. But what it really is a manipulation of our sense of reality. I have understood, as many people have for a long time now, that we create our own reality by our belief in what is real. But my question then was, and it's an understandable one that people ask, if we create our own reality, how come that we all see the same fireplace or the same tree, mm-hmm. the same car going past? Why is that? Why can we create our own reality and yet we share the same one? Well, we share the same background reality, the collective reality, but the way we perceive it is different. And what happened was a friend of mine, a healer friend of mine, came and sat in the chair where I'm actually sitting now. We were chatting away. I hadn't seen him for a while, last September, and we started talking, and DNA came up for whatever reason. And he said he wrote a paper about DNA years before, which was ahead of its time, although it's being confirmed now. And he said two things. First of all, he said DNA, whether you are a mouse, a housefly, or a human, consists of the same four codes, A, C, G, and T. And whether you're a house mouse or a human in terms of your physical form depends on how those codes relate to each other. And the other thing he said was that DNA is a crystalline structure, which is a receiver-transmitter of information. And as soon as he said those two things, my head blew off, and I shouted out in the room. I said, "That's it. That's how we connect to the Matrix." And the Matrix movies, particularly the first one, was a brilliant visual presentation mm-hmm. of the illusory world we live in. Because when you get into this stuff, you realize how much information mainstream science even has already compiled. But mainstream science is a series of different disciplines, and the disciplines don't talk to each other, and there's pressure not to go off the party line anyway, so don't talk about this stuff even though we found it out. And what you find is that they've already confirmed that there is no out there. When we look through our eyes, we think we're looking out to something, but actually the room that I'm sitting in now that appears to be around me only exists in that form in my brain. There's that great line in the Matrix movie when the Morpheus character says, "What is real? If you're talking about what you can see, touch, hear, taste, and smell, then real is only electrical signals interpreted by your brain." And that's what it is. The senses what we call the senses merely are electrical signals transmitted to the brain, which the brain then interprets. This is how a stage hypnotist can implant a belief in the stooge on the stage that he's eating an apple when he's really eating a potato. He implants the belief into the brain, and the brain then decodes the electrical signal from the potato as if it's an apple, and so the guy tastes an apple. Now, what's happening all the time, Cameron, in our lives through the media and education and all the rest of it, is that we are being implanted with beliefs in what is real, just like a stage hypnotist.
Do you know something,
David? The greatest stage hypnotist is the oblong box in the corner, and we are, if we take on that belief that's being implanted, we then decode reality to suit and to match the implanted belief.
Well, this is very interesting, and I just want to say to you that, you know, that in itself is very symbolic of what you're saying, because, you know, even I was on a stage 20 years ago. I went on a stage with this fellow by the name of Ravine, and he made me believe, well, made me, whatever, that I put my finger in this wall and I'm going to prevent the flood from coming down. In that old storybook story, remember that story? And I'm on stage, I'm holding my finger in midair, believing that my finger is in a wall. Now, I don't recall what I was actually seeing with my physical eyes. All I can remember at this point is, if I took my finger off or put it down by my side, we're going to get flooded with water. I don't know if I physically saw a wall there or not. I wish I could remember that, but yeah.
But that what you've just described, mate, is precisely what the global population is going through all the time. Because outside of our brain and DNA, which is decoding frequencies into holographic three-dimensional reality in our heads, it's just frequency fields. And it's a good analogy, because what I'm saying in the book is that we live in a equivalent of a holographic internet. We look at the internet and we get flat pictures, but in our holographic internet, we get apparently three-dimensional pictures, but they are holograms. They're not actually solid. They just appear to be. And if you think about it, the only place the internet exists as we perceive the internet is on the computer screen. Mm-hmm. Everywhere else, it is electrical signals and mathematical codes.
Mm-hmm.
So is our reality. The only place that the television exists as we perceive it is actually on the screen. You know, you don't see episodes of Friends and the 10 o'clock news flying over the trees to your house.
No.
It comes as frequencies, and the television decodes them into pictures. That's what we're doing through our DNA and our brains. And if that decoding process is filtered by our belief. That's what decides what part of the information we're receiving we will manifest as physical reality and that which we will not. Just like the stage hypnotist implants a belief and then you decode the reality based on what he's implanted. I thought I told this story on the show before, but it's so relevant. It's a fantastic story, but so symbolic of what I'm talking about. There was a great book called The Holographic Universe written by a guy called Michael Tolbert.
Right.
And he told a story in there of a party that his father held with a stage hypnotist coming along to do some tricks. And he got this guy, he watched this happen, this guy called Tom. He was under the hypnotic trance, and the hypnotist said to him, when I bring you back to a waking state, you're not going to be able to see your daughter. And the guy's sitting in a chair, and the hypnotist then brought the daughter and stood the daughter between... in front of of Tom, the father, brings him out of the trance state, or apparently so, and then asks Tom, can you see your daughter in the room? And this guy looks around and can't see her. His daughter's giggling, but he don't hear her because she's not in his reality, because his belief is she's not there. The hypnotist put his hand on the small of her back with a watch in it and said to him, can you tell me what's in my hand? And he thought it was ridiculous because it was so obvious. He said, you're holding a watch. He then read the inscription on the watch. His daughter is between him, the watch, and him. And it's because we are constructing reality in our heads, in our minds, in our brains. And if we take on this implanted bombardment of belief in what is real that we get from cradle to grave, the official story of reality, the norms, then we will decode reality to fit those norms. We will create the reality that suits the manipulators that are implanting the beliefs. I mean, this is conventional science. And yeah. We're receiving, the brain's receiving 400 billion pieces of information a second, but our conscious mind is aware of about 2,000. What the heck is happening to the rest? 95% at least of DNA is called by science junk DNA because they don't know what it does. I mean, was God having a laugh? I mean, what's going on? I'll confuse them. I'll put 95% of DNA in there. There's nothing. They'll call it junk. You know,
yeah.
Ridiculous. So once you get to this level of an understanding the game, you start to realize that, okay, you can talk about these different levels of the conspiracy, yes, but the bottom line of it is manipulating our sense of reality so that we create the experienced reality that suits the agenda. And when we talk about waking up, people waking up, we use that term all the time.
Yeah.
It's so accurate because what do we say when a hypnotist clicks his fingers? We say the guy's woken up. We are in a trance. We are in a hypnotic trance. And when we break out of it, as many people listening to this show will appreciate, that's when we go, why didn't I see it before? It's so obvious. And then you start trying to operate in a world in which you see what's happening in a completely different way to someone else who's still in the trance. And it's very difficult communicating to them and them to you because you're literally in the same street or the same house, the same room,
mm-hmm.
but what you're experiencing is completely different in terms of your the reality that you are manifesting.
Yeah. You know, I just, to me, it just blows me away, David, because when we think about this, you know, I was actually talking on the radio the other day that everybody all of a sudden, since the Matrix movies have come out, you know, they talk about the Matrix, they talk about these alternate realities, and, you know, and for some, you know, for some reason, I kept thinking that to myself, okay, well, you know, then where are we being manipulated even by these movies, The Matrix and The Matrix Reloaded, The Matrix Revolutions? Are we all just humans in this pod, and when we die, we fall into a vast dump of water like they did in the movies? You know?
Well, what we are is not our thoughts or our emotions.
Mm-hmm.
We are the silence between them. I spent 10 days. Nearly 2 weeks, actually, in South Africa with a great friend of mine called Credo Mutwa, who's a Zulu shaman. He's 83, and he's the official historian of the Zulu nation. This man is just the most extraordinary human being I've ever met. And we spend a lot of time together because we see the world in the same way, even though I come from a council estate in the Midlands of England and he comes from the bush of Africa.
Mm-hmm.
And What you realize, Cameron, when you travel around, is that there was once a universal knowledge about the nature of reality and how we can control it. How can we decide our own reality and all the rest of it? How you can see what we call the future or the go to the past, all this knowledge, and how we can communicate without words in what is known in Africa as the bush telegraph.
Mm-hmm.
Anyway, on the final day before I left, he threw the bones for me, as they call them in Africa.
Right.
And what they are, they're fantastically carved animal bones. The ones that he used go back hundreds of years, I think. They go back to a Zambian king. And what he does is he throws the bones, and then he reads them in terms of reading you, through the bones. And what he did for me was just incredibly accurate. He picked up a couple of things that were just extraordinary, that only I know about. And when we were on a radio show together a little while later, a couple of weeks ago or so, the interviewer said to him, how do you do that? How do you read the bones? And he said this. He said, I don't really know. He said, but all I can say is when I throw in the bones, I go into what he called the silent cave, the place of silence. And he said, once I get there, the bones talk to me. I can communicate with the bones. They tell me things. And wherever you go, whether it's a meditative workshop, you know, on the west coast of America, or you go and see a Indian holy man, or the Aboriginal people of Australia, or a Zulu shaman.
Mm-hmm.
The language they use and the symbolism they use may be different, but it is the same knowledge, because throwing the bones is like throwing the runestones, or just
right.
like doing the tarot cards, same thing.
Right.
You're reading the energy field by using symbols to do it. And this universal knowledge in a once universal society became fragmented when that society became fragmented. And what happened is, what's happened over the centuries is that the knowledge that was still in circulation among the general population has been systematically suppressed and destroyed, while the people doing it, the Illuminati bloodlines of their secret society network, have hoarded it for themselves, so that they are coming from a much greater knowledge base of the nature of reality and how it's created and how it can be manipulated than the general population. When the European empires, particularly the British Empire and the Spanish, etc., went into the Americas and elsewhere in the world, they targeted the people who held the knowledge and used Christianity as the excuse to impose and destroy the original beliefs. As Quedah Mutwa said, when the European powers, particularly the British, came into Africa, they milked the minds of the shaman, as he put it, and then killed them. Mm-hmm. And so what you've had is a situation where the manipulating force has hoarded the knowledge for itself, and systematically sought to take it out of public circulation. Now, what's happening now is it's coming back. And these people are desperate. You know, these people who are behind these horrors and the Illuminati, they are in a panic at this time because of the awakening is getting more and more and more obvious and fast. And it's happening for this reason. What we're doing on a DNA level, because it's a receiver-transmitter of information, we're not only receiving a collective reality which we decode from what we call the matrix, we're also communicating with each other on these on these DNA levels. And the reason that we have this phenomenon, which has been identified called the 100th monkey syndrome, where they found that once a certain number of the species has been taught something new, suddenly, inexplicably, large numbers of that species can suddenly do it without being shown, do it spontaneously, is because species, particularly between species, there is a very powerful communication on this level, because the ACGT coding in the DNA represents a frequency, a wavelength, a radio station, a species radio station, if you like. And so they can communicate with each other on that level. Now, once a number of a species has learned something new, it becomes, and it reaches a critical mass point, it becomes so powerful within this, if you like, species internet, that each member of a species can take the information from the internet on a non-conscious level, and suddenly they know how to do something spontaneously that they've never been shown before. Now, what's happening now on the human level is exactly the same. The dominating reality has been the one that's been imposed by authority all the way through this period of the suppression of the knowledge. And therefore, when most people have communicated with each other, they've communicated with each other on this DNA level, this DNA internet, on the basis of the official story is true, because that's basically the only story people have been getting. Now, this is why programs like yours and what I do and what other researchers do and other programs do is so vital.
Mm-hmm.
And this is why people need to talk to each other and have the confidence and the courage to speak their truth, even though people around them might not agree with them initially.
Very true, David. Now, you know, we're going to take a commercial break, but I want to mention there's a lot of truth in what you're saying right there, because just the other day I was at the gas station. I was filling up and having a conversation, as we do with people that are filling up gas. And I don't know how the topic got onto it, but we started talking about politics a bit. And I said, I don't know if you're a George Bush fan or not, but I particularly am not. Now, I don't think it's just George Bush. I don't think I'm a fan of any kind of government right now, because I think the whole government system stinks anyways.
Right.
And, you know, he said, well, he says, you know, it's funny that you're talking about that, because he says, I don't even think that, and this is, he said this, and this is a guy who's driving, I mean, I don't know anything about this fella, but he says to me, David, he says, well, he says, I don't know what you're into, but, you know, quite frankly, I don't think that that 9/11 and the recent London bombings have anything to do with terrorism.
Well, and that's exactly the reaction that I and many other people who are researching this and stuff have had. And this is what's happening. I'm only going to commercial break, so I'll say it quickly. But what we're reaching the point, Cameron, is a wonderful time where this 100th monkey syndrome is starting to kick in.
Yeah.
The pioneers that have put this stuff out and got it circulating are now reaching the point where that information is becoming so powerful within this DNA internet that people are starting to access it themselves without reading a book and without, you know, hearing it externally, and suddenly they know. And this is what these this Illuminati have been terrified of all along, which is this 100th monkey thing kicking in, because then basically they've lost control of it, and we're in for some very challenging times, because when you corner something, it flashes out, and that's what they're going to be doing in the near future.
But, exactly.
It's also a great time, because this is going to be swept away by the awakening. I've never been more confident of it.
Yeah, this is awesome. Now we'll be right back with David Icke. Questions or comments? 425-649-1112. It's all good. We'll be right back. Welcome back to Contact Talk Radio, everybody. Our guest this morning, of course, is David Icke. His recent book, Infinite Love is the Only Truth, Everything Else is Illusion. You can always go to his website, davidicke.com. That's David Icke, ICKE.com. And once you get there, I'll tell you what, be prepared to spend a little time there, because there is a ton of information there for you to read, and you can get be a part of his newsletter by inserting your email address and subscribing to his newsletter and get his newsletter. Of course, the latest book, Infinite Love is the Only Truth, Everything Else is Illusion. There's a lot of great quotes in this book from some very profound people, David. And during the commercial break, you mentioned one particular quote that I thought was very important. Why don't we start there?
Yeah. What's great about the time we're in is that true science, open-minded, I really want to know without editing to keep the party line science, and true spirituality are speaking the same language. What the cutting-edge quantum physicists are saying is what the mystics have been saying all along. And what we've had is a manipulated polarity, which has put what we've called spirituality, bricks and mortar religion, and what we've called science, the establishment version of science, and they've created two polarities so that science and what is called spirituality, and the better name is religion, have actually been apparently on different sides of each other. You believe that, you believe that. You know, well, what's happened when you get to the cutting edge of science and the open-minded spirituality? Is you start to speak the same language. And this is a quote about Cole Pribram. He's a neurophysiologist at Stanford University. And he's quoted in that Holographic Universe book in this way. He says, Pribram realized that the objective world does not exist, at least not in the way we are accustomed to believe in. What's out there is a vast ocean of waves and frequencies, and reality looks concrete to us only because our brains are able to take this holographic blur and convert it into sticks and stones and other familiar objects that make up our world. In other words, the smoothness of a piece of fine china and the feel of a beach sand beneath our feet are really just elaborate versions of the phantom limb syndrome. It's when people have, of course, limbs removed, but they can still feel them for quite a long time, as if they're still there. So what we're getting is this consensus now between what the mystics have been saying all along and what cutting edge science is now saying about the nature of our reality. And another interesting thing that I came across is that we cannot perceive, even with our technology, at least 95% of what is known to exist in the universe. That's only what is known to exist, not what actually exists. And the electromagnetic spectrum is only 0.005% of what is known to exist in the universe. And the visible sight, what we can see, is a fraction of that 0.005%. As one writer said, humans are basically blind. What we've been manipulated to do is believe that what we can see and perceive with our five senses is all that there is,
mm-hmm.
when it is an infinitesimally small frequency range within the infinite. So when it's like when people are not in a receipt of all the information or enough information, they can only make a decision on what they believe to be real and possible on what information they have. So if they think, for instance, that the physical world is physical and the body is solid, when it's a holographic illusion, then when people talk about shape-shifting, for instance, moving from one form to another, they'll say that's impossible. And if the two forms were solid, yes, it would be. But they're not. They're holograms. They're illusions. It's just moving from one frequency field decoded by the brain into or decoded by the brain into a human form or the DNA,
mm-hmm.
and a form decoded by the DNA into a different form. And a good example of the point I'm trying to make here is that centuries ago, when they said the Earth was round, or people started saying the Earth was round, they were dismissed as mad because people said, look, if the Earth is round, people on the bottom would fall off, mate. Now go away, don't be silly. Because they were missing a piece of information,
right.
The law of gravity.
Yeah.
And once you introduce the law of gravity, then what seemed at first to be bizarre starts to make sense. But what the media do, and my goodness me, do I know from my own experience.
Well, you were in the media yourself.
They're not interested in talking about the law of gravity, apart from great shows like this, talking about the mainstream media.
Mm-hmm.
They are interested only in talking about the nutter that thinks the Earth is round, but not about the law of gravity to show that the nutter is actually making logical sense.
Mm-hmm.
That's what makes it difficult to get this stuff across in the mainstream.
Amazing to me. You know, it's something, David, that, you know, it's people like yourself that come out and talk about this, you know, this is an opportunity, I think, for people. You know, people, you can make up your own minds about what we're talking about here, and absolutely, and what you believe is what you believe, and no one or anyone around you can change your mind. All we can do here is, David, is tell people this is some new perspectives. And I think that everything is quite valid of what we're talking about. But the thing is, David, we could talk about this till our face turns blue. People are asking out there, what are we going to do about it? What are we going to do about the government and the different bombings that are happening? How can we prevent them, or can we prevent them? Is there something that we can do that's going to make a difference in our world as to what the Illuminati want?
Well, there's two ways of dealing with a problem. One is to find a solution. I think we're drowning in them.
Mm-hmm.
And the other one is to remove the cause. And the cause is that the few are manipulating the many because the many are in a hypnotic trance. And therefore, they are perceiving a reality that has been externally implanted by the few so that we experience the world and therefore behave in the way that suits this agenda. What we have to do is to wake up and help other people wake up, and that is information. The mainstream media throughout the world is not owned and controlled by this Illuminati network because they think it's a bit of fun. It's because it's fundamental to their ability to be successful and achieve what they wish.
Mm-hmm.
Because this is why visionaries all through the centuries have always been perceived as dangerous to those in authority. Because what authority wants is to impose a version of reality so that there is only one reality, the one that suits them. So anyone that comes along and starts putting forward another one, is already diluting the power of the imposed reality, because it's showing that, A, there is another way of looking at things, not just this one way. It's like you hear this phrase all the time. Well, not everyone knows that, mate. Well, tell me, I'm one of everyone, and I don't know that, so there's one less than everyone. We've made a start. And it's just, it's what a friend of mine calls repeaters, people who just repeat what someone else has told them. And what you get throughout society is doctors, for instance, they're just repeating what they're told at medical school and what they're told by the drug companies.
Mm-hmm.
Lawyers are just repeating what they've learned in college. Journalists are just repeating what someone has told them. And there's this wonderful quote in the book by Oscar Wilde, who says, most people are other people. Their thoughts are someone else's opinions, their lives are mimicry, their passions are quotation. And what we need to do is to break out of this collective hypnotic state by ceasing to follow the sheep in front.
Mm-hmm.
And start to live our truth, start to see the world in our unique way rather than in the way that we do by following the herd mentality.
Mm-hmm.
And what the Japanese say, don't be the nail that stands out above the rest, because that's the first one to get hit. Well, and one of the great ways to do this, I've found, two ways, I would say. One, the thing that changed my life more than anything else was about 15 years ago, a little bit more, when I decided that if ever what I thought and what I intuitively felt were odds, I was always going to go with my intuition. And I stuck with that, and I still stick with that, and it changed my life. It took me on an incredibly synchronistic journey where incredible, quote, coincidences started happening that put me in the right place at the right time to gather information, to meet people who had information, et cetera, et cetera. And what I've done, as I think I mentioned at the start of the chat, what I do is I follow my intuition in pursuing this knowledge, and I'll do five-sense research. Yes, of course I will, to support it, but it's the intuition that is the guide that follows me, leads me. So what happens then when you first follow your intuition is you start to do things that are at odds with mainstream society.
Right.
And at that point, when people start to react to that, you're mad or you're strange and all this stuff, a lot of people, they then go back in the shell, and they start going by what their heads tell them, or what their minds are telling them. Because what the mind's doing, which is a phenomenon of DNA through the thought process and the emotional process, it's trying to defend its territory, it's trying to defend its control. So when you get an intuitive feeling to do something that is at odds with the norm, in will come the program, and it will go, you can't do that. What about the mortgage? What about your family? What about this? What about that? You've got a job. What about that? And it will give you all the reasons why you shouldn't do that. Well, people will laugh at you. You don't want that.
Truly.
And so the first stage is to start to follow your intuition, which will take you into an amazing journey, and then to stick with it when the pressure is to go back in the shell. And what happens, and it happened to me, is there comes a point when, things start, being challenging because you're being different. What mm-hmm. what your mind level does, it comes in with its, arms folded and says, see, I told you this would happen if you didn't listen to me. But if you stick with it and stick with it, what happens is the mind, the program within the DNA starts to see that although following the intuition leads you into some challenging situations, interesting situations too, though, it all works out in the end.
Yeah.
And it works out not because or not despite following your intuition, mm-hmm. but because of it. And at that point, your mind, what you think and what you intuitively know, mm-hmm. start to come together. And what's happening in this process is that, as I've said in the book, the emotions and the thoughts, the chatterbox in the head that keeps going on and on and on and on all the time, they're actually phenomena of the DNA.
Mm-hmm.
When you go to the silence between the thoughts, you're going into the infinite consciousness that we all are.
Mm-hmm.
And when your intuition and your mind come together, what you're doing is integrating this physical level of experience with infinite consciousness. And that is when we become one. And mm-hmm. at that point, the war stops between what we feel to do and what we think we ought to do. And it transforms your life. And at that point, when you enter the silence between the thoughts and observe this reality from there, you see the world in a completely different way. It's like reading a totally different book.
David, we're gonna take a call right here. We got a call coming in. We're gonna take a call here. This is excellent information, David, and we're gonna have to have you back for this. So go ahead, Benny.
Yeah, Cameron, we have a call from Lawrence, and actually a fabulous question. Lawrence, are you there?
Yeah, I'm here.
Go ahead, sir.
Hello, David.
Hello, Lawrence.
Pleasure to finally speak to you. I've been following you for quite a while now. 2012, the end of the 26,000-year cycle.
Yeah.
I'm curious, is this going to create a scenario that is similar to that movie, The Day After Tomorrow? Or, is something like that going to happen? Or is it going to be like just on a consciousness level, the changes? And one recommendation I'd like to make to you. There's this new technology out called the 3D mind, and it is a belief-changing technology. It's the most powerful change technology in the world. And you can get it at essentialskills.com. That's essential-skills.com. So that I'd really like you to pick that up. And so if you could just answer my question. Thank you.
Well, okay, Lawrence. Well, 2012 is a very significant date, or certainly window of time. The Mayan calendar talks about it, the end of a great cycle of 26,000 years when one, vibrational era ends and another one starts. And it's certainly significant in the time agenda of the Illuminati.
Mm-hmm.
Exactly what 2012 is all about, I wouldn't like to say at this time. My feeling is that it will be part of a massive consciousness shift, which is going on now and gathering pace all the time. And when consciousness shifts, because this is an illusion anyway, created by our sense of reality, then this reality must change in some form. How it changes, we'll have to wait and experience. But when consciousness changes, everything changes.
Mm-hmm.
And what the 2012 date in terms of the Illuminati is important for is because, as I mentioned earlier, they know, particularly the people you never see that are really, really pulling the strings of the planet behind the bushes and the Blairs, who are nothing more than gophers of this inner group, is they know that this awakening is going on,
mm-hmm.
and they are desperate to screw down the lid on the awakening. This is why the microchip is so vital to them. They're desperate to push the microchip on, because I talked to a CIA scientist back in 1997 who gave me the whole lowdown on it,
mm-hmm.
And he said that the microchips they are going to introduce are not just about electronic tagging and a computer knowing where everyone is. It's actually about suppressing us mentally, emotionally, spiritually, and physically from the computer passing messages, signals to the chip. And mm-hmm. it's kind of interesting that I talk in the new book about the brain being like the central processing unit of the computer, that which kind of handles all the information traffic. And in fact, when the book was just finished and went off to be designed into a book, I came across this article about Russian scientists who've mm-hmm. done a big research project with linguists and geneticists and others, trying to understand what this 90-odd% of junk DNA actually did.
Mm-hmm.
And in their research, they came to the conclusion that the human body is what they called a biological internet, a biological computer, which mm-hmm. is what it is.
Mm-hmm.
And it's the thoughts and the emotions are coming through the computer level. It's not who we are.
Right.
What we call being human is the computer program. You know, when psychologists say that they can break down human personalities into about 12 archetypes and combinations of them, and what they're doing is they're describing human personalities in that limited form, because they're describing computer programs.
Mm-hmm.
And it's when we follow the computer program, we're not living life. Life is living us. We're following the program. When we enter the silence between the thoughts, suddenly we are now in a position where we're no longer controlled by the program, and we're actually dictating to the program what it will and will not do. And so what they're trying to do is to keep us from awakening and getting into that infinite level of consciousness.
Mm-hmm.
Because they will lose their power when they do so. Now, this change that's happening leading up to 2012 and beyond that, but 2012 is a very significant date, it seems. It's operating like a spiritual alarm clock,
mm-hmm.
which is kind of triggering people to wake up from this trance like never before in our human knowledge, anyway, in human history. And what they're trying to do is keep that from happening by externally controlling us through microchips and other means. And the central processing unit in a computer that handles the information traffic through a computer is actually a microchip. And what they want to do is to override the human central processing unit, the brain, with their externally implanted version of the brain, which will interpret the information traffic in a way that holds us in the box instead of getting out of it. And just another quick point. All this stuff that they're throwing at us in food, like aspartame and monosodium glutamate and mobile phone frequencies, they have a common theme, and that is they rewire and damage brain activity so that it doesn't operate to its maximum potential. It's like putting a virus in the computer.
Sure.
And that, again, is to stop us making this connection between the physical level of experience and the infinite level of experience as this awakening goes on. And the reason that they're panicking, and Credo Mutwa said to me the other week when I was with him, you know, the Illuminati are in a big panic, is because the awakening is catching them up, and they're not screwing it down as fast as they wanted to, and that's why they're panicking and trying to bring us into line with these events that they've got planned over the next 18 months.
Well, it's very interesting, David, because even on this station, there's more shows coming on about how to empower yourself, and more people want to do their own shows and get this information out there. So there is definitely a force to be reckoned with the Illuminati. Have certainly got their hands full if this consciousness that we talk about here on the show and is what's taking place in our society. More so, the information that you're giving is going to make sense to more people on a daily basis. And
what I said on an interview a couple of days ago, right at the end of the interview, was that actually it was game over. And then, unfortunately, I was cut off and wasn't able to complete the sentence. But what I was going to say was it is game over in terms of outcome. But we're going to have a lot of challenges before that outcome happens and a lot of efforts to stop it happening. But I have never been in doubt at the level of the silence between the thoughts, if you like, since I started this journey, that this whole network of control is coming down.
Mm-hmm.
We are entering a completely different phase of human experience and human existence. I've said before, it's like the darkest hour is just before dawn and all that. Just when it seems on the physical level that this manipulation is at the peak of its power, what we're actually watching it is in its death throes.
Yeah.
Its final throw of the dice to try to hold on to its power. And it's not going to.
No.
It's not going to. It's going to try very hard. There are going to be some unpleasant times.
Yeah.
But it's not going to. It's game over in terms of outcome.
Yeah, well, this is very interesting that because I watched, did you see The War of the Worlds yet, the newest movie?
Yeah, I've seen that, yeah.
Yeah, you know, I thought it was very interesting that the invaders ended up dying because the human spirit ultimately is the winner of this because we will survive. There's just no doubt about it. I just thought it was a very interesting movie because, you know, just the human spirit alone, the infinite love that we have for life and for ourselves and for each other is enough to, I think, is enough to make a difference on this planet.
It is. It's not that we have to get anywhere.
No.
It's to realize we're already there.
Yeah.
We're already infinite consciousness. We don't have to evolve to infinite consciousness. We already are. What we need to do is to remove that hypnotic barrier, that hypnotic trance that is giving us the illusion that we are not infinite consciousness, that we're somehow David Icke or Bill Smith.
Right.
That's just a holographic biological computer. We are infinite consciousness. We, you know, once you give a name to something, you know, someone said to me, "What do you believe?" Or "What are you?" I just am.
Yeah.
Everything just is. Once you start giving a name to what you believe, you're already in a prison. I'm a so-and-so.
Yeah.
Well, actually, so when you enter the silence between the thoughts, what you're entering is all possibility.
Yeah.
There are no archetypes in all possibility. There's only all possibility. The archetypes are in the illusion, in the computer world of the illusion. How can you say that I this is what I believe and give it a name when you are all possibility? You just are. Everything just is. And this is the realm that Credo-Module calls the silent cave, where when we enter there, there are no words. There is just knowing. The reason that the silence is silent is because it is all-knowing. It doesn't need the chatterbox to work things out all the time because it already knows. And when you go to those places, it's a place of no emotion, in the sense that we perceive emotion and experience emotion here.
There's no polarity
of
that.
Of no guilt. Of none of these things that hold us in servitude here. It just is. And that's what the Illuminati are desperate to keep us from, because that only by doing that can they keep us in prison.
Mm-hmm.
But it's a fantastic statement about the magnitude of who we are, that they have to work so hard and bombard us on so many levels to keep us in this trance state. As I said, I've used this analogy before. If you get a ball and you float it on top of a tank of water, that's the ball's natural state. If you want to hold it in an unnatural state, you have to push it to the bottom of the tank, and you have to hold it there all the time, because if you let it go, it's going to go back to its natural state, whoosh, immediately, top of the tank. And that's what they're having to do to us, this incarnate consciousness, if you like. They're having to hold the ball at the bottom of the tank constantly by bombarding us in all these different ways, through misinformation, programmed hypnotic realities, chemicals in the food, electromagnetic pollution, all this stuff. They have to do that, because otherwise we'd whoosh back to our natural state. And so the Illuminati, while they seem all-powerful in some ways, are actually frightened little people who are very close to losing the power that they so desperately want to hold on to. And anyone who wants to have power over others has a massive inferiority complex.
Yeah,
and they do. They are frightened little people, not all powerful people. That's a very important thing we ought to understand.
And
go on.
I was going to say, and that is a perfect way to segue into the ending of our program with you today, David, really, because, you know, you're offering many answers here. You're offering many truths. And, you know, again, it's, you know, you talk about your reality, the belief that we create our reality, and the reality is created from our beliefs, then, you know, this information, what we believe, could be true or could not be true, depending on what you believe. But, you know, you have to feel for yourself what the truth is. For me, David, I really love what you do and the information you bring out, because for me it makes a lot of sense in my own thoughts and in my own dreams that I've had. I want to thank you from the bottom of my heart for being with us today and doing what you do. It takes great amount of dedication and to put this work forth, and I really thank you.
Well, thank you very much, Cameron. I appreciate that. But that's why the new book is called Infinite Love is the Only Truth. Everything else is illusion. What it's saying is the silence between the thoughts, the infinite existence of infinite consciousness, that's the only truth.
Yeah.
Everything else is the illusion.
Perfect.
Created by that consciousness.
Perfect. And you can find out more information about David Icke by going to davidicke.com. That's ICKE.com. Thanks very much, folks, for joining us today, David. Thank you. We'll see you tomorrow.
Thank you.
You bet. Bye-bye.